Hello and welcome back to the reading of Tortured for Christ. This is reading number 10 by Richard Wurmbrand. The book was written by him. The copyright date is 1967. Distributed by the Voice of the Martyrs, who gave me the permission for this read-through. You can receive a free copy of this book by simply going to persecution.com and asking for it. A lot of other things you can do for the persecuted church are at that site. I begin today from page 87. In June 1966, the Soviet newspapers Izvestia and Dervinskaya Sozhizn accused the Russian Baptists of teaching their members to kill children to atone for sins. It's the old accusation of ritual murder that used to be raised against the Jews. But I know what this means. I was in a prison in Cluj in 1959 with a prisoner, Lazarevich, accused of having killed a girl. He was only 30 years old, but his hair had turned white overnight under the tortures. He looked like an old man. His fingernails had been torn out to make him confess to the crime, which he had not committed. After a year of torture, his innocence was established and he was released. But freedom meant nothing to him any longer. He was a broken man forever. Others read a newspaper article and laughed about the stupid accusations that the Soviet press made against the Baptists during the communist era. I know what they mean for the accused. It's horrible to be in the West and to have such images constantly before your eyes. What happened to the Archbishop Yermogin of Kaluga in the USSR and the other seven bishops who protested against the extremes of cooperation with the Soviet regime as practiced by the Patriarch Alexei and the Archbishop Nikodim, who were tools in the hands of the communists? If I had not seen the bishops who protested in Romania dying near me in prison, I would not be so concerned about these godly men. The ministers Nikolai Eshliman and Gleb Yakunin were disciplined by the Patriarch because they asked for religious freedom for the church. The West knows this much, but I was in prison with John of Vladimirej, Romania, to whom the same thing happened. On the surface, there was only an ecclesiastical disciplining. But our official church leaders, like most official church leaders of the communist countries, worked hand in hand with the secret police. Those disciplined by them were also put under the more efficient discipline, tortures, beatings, and drugging of prisoners. I tremble because of the sufferings of those persecuted in different lands. I tremble thinking about the eternal destiny of their torturers, and I tremble for Western Christians who don't help, in many cases, their persecuted brethren. In the depth of my heart, I would like to keep the beauty of my own vineyard and not be involved in such a huge fight. I'd like so much to be somewhere in quietness and rest, but it is not possible. When the communists invaded Tibet, they put an end to those who were interested only in completely spiritual matters. In our country, they put an end to all who removed themselves from reality. Churches and monasteries were dissolved, keeping only as much as was necessary to dupe foreigners. The quietness and rest for which I long would be an escape from reality and dangerous for my soul. I have led this fight, although it was very dangerous for me personally. They kidnapped me from the street in 1948 and put me in jail under a false name. Anna Packer, our Secretary of State at that time, said to the Swedish ambassador, "Oh, Wurmbrand is now taking walks on the streets of Copenhagen." The Swedish minister had in his pocket my letter that I had succeeded in smuggling out of prison. He knew that he had been told a lie. Such a thing can happen again. If I am killed, the killer will have been appointed by the communists. No one else has any motive to kill me. If you hear rumors about my moral depravity, theft, homosexuality, adultery, political unreliableness, or lying, or anything else, it'll be the fulfilling of the threat of the secret police. We will destroy you morally. A very well-informed source told me that the Romanian communists decided to kill me after the testimony I gave to the U.S. Senate in the late 1960s. But I cannot remain silent, and your duty is to examine quietly what I say. Even if you think that, after all I have passed through, I suffer from a persecution complex, you must ask yourself what this dreadful power of communism is that makes its citizens suffer from such complexes. What power is it that made men from communist East Germany take a child in a bulldozer and pass through barbed wire at the risk of being shot with their whole family? The West sleeps and must be awakened to see the plight of captive nations. Men who suffer often seek a scapegoat, someone on whom to place the guilt. To find such a one eases the burden much. I cannot do it. I cannot put the guilt on some of the church leaders of the West who compromise with the haters of Christians. The evil comes not from them. And these leaders are themselves the victims of a much older evil. They did not create the mess in the church. They found it. Since being in the West, I have visited many theological seminaries. There I heard lectures about the history of bells and the history of liturgical songs, about canonical laws long since disused, or about a church discipline that no longer exists. I have heard that some students of theology learn that the biblical story of creation is not true, nor that of Adam, nor the flood, nor the miracles of Moses. Some are taught that the prophecies were written after their fulfillment, that the virgin birth is a myth. Likewise, the resurrection of Jesus, that his bones have remained somewhere in a grave, that the epistles are not genuine, and that Revelation is the book of a madman. Otherwise, the book is a holy book. This leaves a holy book in which there are allegedly more lies than in Chinese communist newspapers. That is what some present Western church leaders learned when they were in seminaries. That's the atmosphere in which they live. Why should they be faithful to a master about whom such strange things are said? Why should church leaders be faithful to a church in which it can be freely taught that God is dead? Some leaders of denominations are not of the Bride of Christ. They are leaders in a church in which many have long since betrayed the master. When they meet someone of the underground church, a martyr, they look at him strangely. We cannot always judge man for only one part of his attitude. If we did so, we'd be like the Pharisees, in whose eyes Jesus was seen as bad, because he did not respect their rules about the Sabbath. They closed their eyes entirely to what would have been lovable in Jesus, even in their sight. The same church leaders who have a wrong attitude toward communism may be right in many other things and may be personally sincere. And even in what they are wrong, they may change. I was once with an Orthodox bishop in Romania. He was a man of the communists, denouncing his own sheep. I took his hand between mine and told him the parable of the prodigal son. It was on an evening in his garden. I said, "See with what love God receives a sinner who returns. He receives gladly even a bishop if he repents." I sang him Christian songs. This man was converted. I was in prison in the same cell with an Orthodox priest who, in the hope of being released, wrote atheistic lectures. I spoke to him. He tore to pieces what he had written, thus risking never to be released. I cannot make a scapegoat of anyone to ease the burden I have upon my heart. I have another pain. Even very close friends misunderstand me. Some accuse me of bitterness and resentment against the communists, which I know not to be true. The Mosaic writer Claude Montefiore said that Jesus' attitude toward scribes and Pharisees, his public denunciation of them, is contrary to his command to love our enemies and bless those who curse us. And Dr. W. R. Matthews, retired dean of St. Paul's in London, concluded that this is an incoherence and inconsistency in Jesus. He gives the excuse that Jesus was not an intellectual. Montefiore's impression of Jesus was wrong. Jesus loved the Pharisees, although he denounced them publicly. And I love the communists as well as their tools in the church, although I will denounce them. Constantly I am told, forget the communists, work only in spiritual things. I met with a Christian who had suffered under the Nazis. He told me that he is entirely on my side as long as I witness for Christ, but I should not say one word against communism. I asked him if Christians who fought against Nazism in Germany were wrong, and if they should have been confined to speaking only from the Bible, without saying a word against the tyrant Hitler. The reply was, but Hitler killed 6 million Jews. One had to speak against him. I replied, communism has killed 30 million Russians, and millions of Chinese and others, and they have killed Jews too. Must we protest only when Jews are killed, and not when Russians or Chinese are killed? The answer was, well, this is quite another thing. I received no explanation. The police beat me both during Hitler's reign and during communist times. I could not see any difference. Both were very painful. Christianity has to fight against many aspects of sin, not only against communism. We are not obsessed with just this one problem. But communism is a tremendous foe of Christianity and most dangerous. Against it, we must unite. May I say it again? The highest goal of man is to become Christ-like. To prevent this is the main aim of communists. They are primarily anti-religious. They believe that after death, man becomes salt and minerals, nothing else. They desire the whole life to be lived on the level of matter. They know only the masses. Their word is that of the demon in the New Testament. When asked what his name was, we are legion. Individual personality, one of the great gifts of God to mankind, must be crushed. They imprisoned a man because they found him with a book by Alfred Adler called Individual Psychology. The officers of the secret police shouted, ah, individual, always individual. Why not collective? Jesus wishes us to be personalities. Therefore, there is no possibility of compromise between communism and us. The communists know it. In their magazine, Nauka I Religia, Science and Religion, they have written, religion is incompatible with communism. It's hostile to it. The content of the program of the Communist Party is a death blow to religion. It's a program for the creation of an atheistic society in which people will be rid forever of the religious bondage. Can Christianity exist at the same time with communism? Here the communists answer this question. The Communist Party is a death blow to religion, they say. We'll stop there for this time. Thank you for joining me today. We hope to return soon with you and want to keep you in touch with what touches God's heart. Be sure to check out the rest of this series and my other series on Sermon Audio. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.